We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
From the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we welcome you into the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a Friday, baby. John Chuckery Show with you live. Going the full four tonight. Streaming online at 929thegame.com. That's where you catch us live. Replays of the shows. Finest moments, breaking sports news, all at our new and improved website, 1900thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your device. You got a phone, you got a tablet, you got a boombox, CD player, Walkman, turntable, I don't know, whatever you got, download it to catch us on the go. Social media, all of it's at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter for the station. The best way, as always, to keep up with this particular show. As we're trying to make the push to, in honor of the show, 4400, Jarvis. I'm up to 4248 is where I'm at. We're trying to get to 4400 by the end of this week. So we got today, tomorrow, and Sunday yet to get to 4400. So I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316 on Twitter as our quest for 4400 continues. He is producing the show behind the glass, Jarvis Davis. He is at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Before I get into what I want to talk about, we got Gabe Burns coming on tonight. We got Dave Cohen coming on tonight. Lots of college football to get you ready for. Lots of Falcons to get you ready for. Jarvis, I just saw this story here from Darren Rovell. One of the big-time bettors, we're watching Wake Forest and North Carolina play. Okay, Carolina was a 3-point underdog going into Wake Forest tonight. One of the big bettors put down a bet in Vegas at the Bellagio. He put down $55,000 on UNC tonight to cover. FYI, UNC's down 21-0 already in this game, getting blown out by Wake Forest. So, wow. Wouldn't it be nice to have $55,000 first off? And then wouldn't it be even nicer to have $55,000 to lose? That'd be a hell of a comeback for UNC if they're planning on covering that bet. So, 3-point underdog North Carolina down 21-0 quickly as a college football getting started early on a Friday night. So lots to get into, like I said. We got Falcons. We got and that's kind of where I'm sort of going to start. But we got Falcons, Braves, big matchup tonight. Not so much Washington-Atlanta because I know and again, I don't want to speak out of turn, okay? I don't want to panic anybody talking about playoffs and Braves. 8.5 game lead in the division against Washington. Magic numbers at what? Is it 8 still? 7 or 8? Whatever it is. Again, magic number doesn't mean the division's over. But I don't want to say that because people are going, we got to focus on the division. You know, we got the Mets and the Phillies. Okay. All right. All right. So before I get into all that, you know, before everybody gets all riled up that we've already clinched the division for them and are talking bigger picture and things like that, it's not so much the teams as I'm really excited to see the pitching matchup. You got Mike Soroka, who's been the ace of the Braves this year versus the ace of the Nationals, and really maybe not their ace this year because of injuries and things like that, but still, he's, I don't know. I'll put it to you this way. There probably aren't two guys in baseball. There might not be anybody in Major League Baseball I'd rather have starting a game for me than Max Scherzer. Like, he's arguably one of my 3 or 4 favorite players in all of Major League Baseball. I just love his makeup. Obviously, he's as good as it gets. Cy Young winner in both leagues. It's not been a very good September for Mike Soroka with the 5 home runs and his 2 starts that he's given up. We talked to Gabe a little bit about that, and we'll get his thoughts about it. But I'm very curious to see in a playoff caliber matchup how Mike Soroka responds. Is it more of the same? Is he back to the old Soroka? This, to me, is fascinating to watch because this probably should be and probably will be your game one starter when the playoffs roll around. To me, this would be the guy I start game one in the playoffs. Well, here's a playoff matchup. You know, may not see Scherzer game one in playoffs, but this is a playoff caliber matchup. So Caleb's here. We'll be watching that and keeping up with that all night. But you look at the Braves are about to win the division going to postseason, okay? Atlanta United fighting for the Eastern Conference division. Still, I think, the favorites to win the MLS Cup. Georgia, they'll get it cranked up, not this weekend with Arkansas State. Next weekend when Notre Dame rolls in, now we can start to get into some real, you know, collegiate football. I think you're going to put the hammer down on Notre Dame, but this is going to be a team that, you know, should be in the SEC title game, could make a run in a national championship. They're right there. Heck, look at Georgia State, 2-0 for the first time in school history. They got Western Michigan. That's going to be a tough game. We'll talk to Dave Cohen a little bit later, but that's not an easy win. They came down here and they really handled their business against Georgia State last year. Now they go up to Georgia State heads up to Kalamazoo in the home and home reset with it. And we'll see. They offensively, Western Michigan hasn't done nearly as much. I mean, Monmouth, I mean, take for that what you will. And again, Michigan State, nobody in America is going to run on Michigan State this year. So you really haven't gotten a dose of what their real offense is going to look like, but you will start to see that coming up this Saturday. As they go up to Western Michigan. By the way, that game will be on 1380 WAOK, Georgia State at Western Michigan, pregame at 6:30, 7 o'clock. You got Dave Cohen, you got Harper LaBelle, you got Sam Crenshaw, you got the whole crew up there covering that game. Georgia Tech, you know, nice win last week. You know, they got Citadel. That'll be an easy win this week as well. So there should be no reason why they won't win this week. Hey, Atlanta Falcons. It's time for you to get it going. Time for you to get it cranked up. There's a lot of good things that could happen this fall and going into this wintertime in Atlanta sports with what Atlanta United and the Atlanta Braves and UGA and all that kind of stuff. It would be really disappointing if a Super Bowl or bust caliber team and roster and everything can't hold its end of the bargain up. And I heard Randy talking about this the other day, and he and somebody else said they were talking about it. There's nothing worse than if you have a bad NFL team. I mean, it just is. If you have a bad NFL team and every week you're going into that Sunday thinking, oh. Now, the Falcons have no reason to be bad, okay, unless they just start to pile up injuries and things really go sideways. This roster as is, there's no reason to be bad with this roster. If this roster is bad as is and there aren't injuries, something really has gone wrong. There is some kind of disconnect with this franchise. So it all starts Sunday. You know, Falcons need to be on the train with everybody else as far as all the good things that are happening this fall and wintertime in Atlanta sports and kind of all the positivity and all the things that are, you know, going on right now. You know, I said, you look at all the franchises. Kennesaw State's going to have a good year. Tech, at least, you know, listen, maybe Tech can find a way to fight to get to a bowl game. We'll see. We know Georgia should be in the national title mix. We know Atlanta United is going to be, you know, I still think the favorite to win the MLS Cup. Braves are going to be division winner. Listen, they could be a World Series team. How much fun would it be to have World Series baseball back here in Atlanta? How much fun would it be to see the Braves back in the World Series? Now the Falcons have to hold up their end of the bargain, and it all starts Sunday night. And it won't be easy. Never is. Nothing ever seems to be like it's easy for the Atlanta Falcons. It just really, truly, it just nothing ever seems like it's easy for that franchise and that organization at times. So they got to get it cranked up and they got to get it they going. And the good news is, you know, reality is, and I heard Chris Landry talking about this. Look, a lot of times in the NFL, when you got a team that gets humiliated one week, they bounce back pretty strong the next week. And I expect for the team that's full strength, full roster, listen, they should bounce back. Good win for Tampa Bay last night, by the way, too, to beat. By the way, what is Cam Newton's purpose on wearing these outfits that he's showing up in? Jarvis said, do we have any idea like what Cam is? Is he just trying to goof on everybody? Is that what it is at this point? It's just, let me show you how ridiculously crazy I can be in my outfits. I mean, it's got to be, right? At this point, it's got to be a goof. Yeah. He just, at this point, Jarvis, like you said, he just marched into the beat of his own drum because I don't know what that is that he's trying to do. I mean, that's not him trying to be fashionable at this point. Maybe once he tries that, but when you've done that multiple times, now you're just trying to get to everybody at this point. Maybe they're trying to he's trying to get everybody to focus on his outfit and not what's going on between the lines where they hadn't won a football game yet. By the way, did you see how salty Ron Rivera was, by the way, too, talking about the foot? But don't worry. He's a great coach because he played for the 85 Bears. Don't forget. Yeah, I don't know. Never forget about the fact that he played for the 85 Bears, so he's obviously got to be a good coach. You think if they're 1-6, would they make a change in Carolina? If it went sideways, would they blow it out? Could he get let go if it goes sideways? Yeah, I don't think. And by the way, somebody's texting about, okay, that's cute what Citadel did last year against Alabama. All right, Citadel ain't gonna hold water. So there you go. All right. When we get back, I got three questions for the Atlanta Falcons as they get ready to take on the Eagles on Sunday. As the great Roddy Piper said, just when you think you have the answers, I change the questions. We'll discuss that next. It's the John Chuckery Show in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game, back in the Kia Studios with you. John Chuckery Show on a Friday, 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text sign if you want to jump on and interact with us. Best way is through our Twitter handle, trying to get to 4,400 in honor of the show. At JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. Hey, by the way, our Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. It's going to happen at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs Wednesday, September 25th, 4 to 7 p.m. You got Brian Jordan, Marquise Grissom, Muhammad Nasqua, Ronnie Brown, Jason Campbell, many more. All of us from the station will be out there as a part of it as well. Come join us in the fun. Well, yeah, sort of, yeah. It's about team. It's the shows as a team, except I'm by myself. So I guess it's just they're just putting me alone, Jarvis. Yeah, yeah. That's your good management. All right, Falcons and Falcons and Eagles on Sunday. As we get ready for the home opener. And we're going to hear a clip later on in the Falcon Flyover Tonight from Dan Quinn talking about the home crowd and all that kind of stuff. And I thought it was interesting what he had to say and actually the home record. I don't know if many people know what the home record of the Falcons is at MBS, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium thus far. It's not as good as you might think it's been. So I've got three questions for the Atlanta Falcons as we go into this game on Sunday. Number one. Can the offensive line contain the pressure from the front four of the Philadelphia Eagles? We saw how good that defensive line is for the Minnesota Vikings last week. Well, now you get to amp it up even more. And this is a team that can sack the quarterback, they can stop the run, they can do a lot of things. The thing about the Eagles is that they can get a lot done with just their front four guys. You know, they don't have to send a lot of extra guys, do a lot of crazy stuff. Their front four is good enough to get a lot of things done. And you know, last week, for all the concerns about what was going on with the right-hand side of the offensive line, boy, it was the left-hand side of the offensive line that had all the problems last week is Jake Matthews. He gave up three sacks in that game last week. So, you know, the reality is that it doesn't get easier from one week to the next when you talk about defensive line play that you're going to go up against with this, you know, remade, revamped, whatever offensive line that you want to say. But listen, it's going to be inherent for them to slow down going after Matt Ryan and to open up some holes in this running game out there. I'm not telling you that they're going to make hay on every play. You know, listen, there's going to be some times when it's not going to be real pretty and that offensive line is going to get blown up. But, you know, you got to find a way to contain some of that pressure and you got to give some time to Matt to be able to operate in this offense. And we were kind of talking last night about the idea after listening to Matt on with Dave Archer on the Matt Ryan report. I wonder if they're not going to take some deep shots. We kind of heard that quote where Matt was talking about, you know, say, hey, sometimes you got to score outside of the red zone against a team like the Eagles. Sometimes you got to take what the defense gives you. So I wonder if maybe there's a possibility that we try to see some big shots from the Atlanta Falcons early in this game. Well, the only way that's going to happen is you got to allow Matt Ryan to be upright and have some time to throw the football. And that is a concern. And this is, you know, you look at Matt's completion percentages, by the way, against the Eagles. It's been pretty pedestrian. It's not been nearly as good, you know, as what some of his career numbers and the numbers from the last couple of years, you know, have been against teams. His numbers have been pretty pedestrian at times, especially from a completion percentage standpoint. Got to give him some time to operate. Got to give him the ability to make some plays and also to running the football effectively. Got to be able to run the football at some times when you need to pick up a yard or two here or there. You know, maybe it's second and one or third and one. You got to be able to run the football. So offensive line play, and of course more injuries. Obviously Chris Lindstrom out now, maybe returns, you know, as we get toward December and head toward the last few games of the year. But okay, Jamon Brown, okay, James Carpenter, you know, okay, Caleb McGarry. You know, and I would think that McGarry, I know for sure, will get more snaps than he did last week. I don't know if he's ready to take every snap in the game, though. I'm not sure he's ready for all that. I'm not sure that Tyson Brio won't get some snaps come Sunday. I mean, ideally, he'd love to be able to see McGarry go out there and play a whole game and take all the reps and snaps, but just not sure that that's what the reality is of it. So question number one for me is, can the offensive line contain the pressure from just that front four of the Philadelphia Eagles? Second thing for me for the Atlanta Falcons is, can the Atlanta Falcons get at least 100 yards rushing in this game? And the Falcons find a way to get 100 yards. We talk about running the football effectively. Now, they had 73 yards last week, and obviously that game got away early. You know, the run game became a real secondary option for this Falcon team when you're down 21-0. You know, you're down 14-0 in the blink of an eye, 21-0, then 28-0 as you got into the fourth quarter. Tough to get any semblance of a running game established when you do that. But, you know, I think the Falcons need to get up and over at least that 100-yard threshold and help move the chains and, you know, truthfully, try to wear down that defense. You know, try to keep that defense on the field for lots of plays and try to wear them down. And that's where, you know, that's where that offensive line, again, we go back to line of scrimmage, line of scrimmage, line of scrimmage. What do the Falcons do to be able to control the line of scrimmage? Again, we know how good Philadelphia's defensive line is, but you got to find a way to get some wins out of it. You got to find some ways to get some wins against their defensive line, whether that's, you know, running a little bit faster tempo and keeping their guys on the field and gassing them more, you know, whereas, you know, you want to keep cohesion on your offensive line, they want to rotate guys in and out on the defensive line. So maybe you run a little bit more speed and tempo. Maybe you run a little bit more no huddle or a little bit more where you're trying to push the pace a little bit and keep their defense on its heels a little bit. But getting that running game going, you know, Devontae Freeman, I don't know, maybe it's his first game and things like that, you know, coming back and all that. But wasn't that impressive in performance? Ito Smith had some nice plays out there as well. Maybe you mix those two guys in a little bit more. Maybe you mix it up a little bit more with those two guys. Maybe it's not so heavy, Devontae. Maybe Devontae doesn't quite have his sea legs back underneath him. Whatever the causes and the reasons and all that kind of stuff, that's why the coach is out there, you know, every day with them and analyzing everything. But, you know, 100 yards rushing. I think if the Falcons can get over 100 yards rushing in this game, they're going to find themselves in a pretty good situation, especially if that leads to, you know, some third and one, third and two first downs where you're able to run the football and pick those up. And that's kind of demoralizing for a defense. It's just, you know, if you can run at them when you need to. You know, maybe you don't hit 50-yard runs on them, but when you need 2 yards or need 3 yards, you feel like you can line up and push them back and you can get that. So getting that Falcons running game over 100 yards rushing. Now, the final thing I have is Julio Jones has got the big numbers against the Eagles, but he needs to get in the end zone. Here's the last three games Julio Jones has played against the Philadelphia Eagles, and this goes back to 2016. So November 13th of 2016, 16 targets, 10 catches, 135 yards, but no touchdowns. The playoff game on January 13th of 2018, 16 targets, 9 receptions, 101 yards, but no touchdowns again. Third game was September 6th of last year, 2018, 19 total targets, 10 catches, 169 yards, But again, no touchdowns. So, you know, he's put up, what, 272? He's put up over 400 yards receiving in the last three games that he's played against, that he's played against the Philadelphia Eagles. But the problem is there's no touchdowns in that. There's no touchdowns in that. And we remember the playoff game. We remember the start of last year, you know, the inept red zone offense that the Falcons have had against the Philadelphia Eagles. I know Julio can catch a lot of passes and make a lot of yards against Philadelphia, okay? But I need them to find ways to get him plays, to get him in the end zone, and get him some touchdown opportunities out there. So 400-and-something yards, that's nice, and you love it, but, you know, we need touchdowns. And maybe that is not getting him in the red zone. Maybe that is finding a way to hit Julio on a big play. Maybe that is getting a matchup where you can find Julio, you know, on a big-time crossing route and get him running in full stride with this defense. I don't know. That's what you have coaches that make millions of dollars for, is to figure out a way to get the best player on the field the ball in his hands. And they are. They're targeting him a lot. You know, in those last three games, you're talking about 32 and 9, 51 targets in three games. It's a lot of targets. But that's also a lot of targets with no touchdown reception to go along with it. Yeah, it's lots of catches and it's lots of yards. 29 receptions, again, over 400 yards receiving and all that. So, you know, he's averaging more than a first down every time he catches the football. But unfortunately, there's no touchdowns that are attached to it. That, to me, needs to be the number that start to look at is, okay, I know Julio will get a bunch of yards against the Eagles. Can he get himself in the end zone? Can they make a play? Whether it's in the red zone, outside the red zone, you want to huck it downfield, you want to make a big play, whatever it is, find a way to get Julio in the end zone. 9 catches for 101 yards is nice, but when it's no touchdowns, or 10 catches for 169 yards, it's a massive number. That it would feel like it'd be impossible to have those kinds of numbers and not score a touchdown. When you're averaging 17 yards a reception, okay, every time you catch the football, okay, you're getting 17 yards of offense. You would just feel like one of those would break to go into the end zone. So, again, his last three games, over 400-something yards with 29 catches, he's going to have big numbers against it. And we talked about this last night. Look, you can get some big plays against their secondary. If you can hold back their front four and hold them down for just long enough, their secondary will give up some big plays. Got to take advantage of it. But this time, got to get Julio in the end zone. Should be a fun game. I'm going to be at the game. We got a busy Sunday. Randy McMichael and I have a show. I've got the Bud Light front porch. If you're going to stop by, we'll be out there in front of the Eagle. In front of the Falcon. On Sunday with the Bud Light front porch. So come by and say hi. I'll be hosting all that. And then Rob Tribble and I are going to the game. So two men enter, one man leaves. I don't know like which one of us can survive long enough to be a part of all that. So I know Rob's already said he's like, hey, I got the tickets. Just buy me some beers, which probably will turn into, you know, 19 or 20, it seems like, when you start drinking with Rob. Rob's the kind of guy that when he goes to his doctor and he gives him a urine specimen, there's an olive in it. So that's just Rob, the way that he does that. So should be a lot of fun. Got to get on a winning track. It's not going to be easy, but Falcons have to find a way to not get to 0-2 and protect home field advantage. All right, when we come back, he's had a pretty good year, but would you really feel comfortable about Julio Teheran making a playoff start? We'll talk about that next. We can take your thoughts as well. John Chuck, we're in the Key Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
He was really good again. Man, you know, he was elevating his fastball, I thought, really well. And, you know, some of them fastballs are like up in his 88, and they look like they was playing like it was 98. He was really good again.
Braves manager Brian Snicker bringing us back in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuck, we're show live in the Key Studios, taking it to 11 o'clock, 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with the show. Hey, Atlanta Hawks season tips off in October. Now is your chance to get your single-game tickets. Visit Hawks.com on sale today. See the full schedule and get your tickets for upcoming games this season. Follow us on Twitter, by the way. Station's at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at Jarvis390. Thank you to Stevie Ross, who jumped on board. So we're getting there, Jarvis, 4249. Trying to get to that magical 4,400 in honor of the TV show. He is at Jarvis D90. We'll talk to Gabe Burns, by the way. We're going to talk some Braves baseball here at 8:20 as we're watching Soroka and Max Scherzer going at it. Second inning, still no score in the Braves game. So Julio Teheran, who got roughed up last night. 4 innings, 5 hits, 5 earned runs, 3 homers. Now, you know, Teheran has had a pretty good year overall. I mean, his record aside, because he's one of those guys, because he doesn't pitch a lot of deep games, that his record can be misleading. But, you know, he took the loss last night. He's 10-9. He's got a 3.5 ERA. His ERA got kind of jacked up after last night's 3-homer, 5-run. By the way, just that ball in that ballpark just flies out of there. Goodness gracious. The way they build these ballparks, man, it's crazy. He couldn't get anything over the plate. 1 strikeout, 3 walks last night. But it's been a pretty good year. 155 strikeouts in 167 innings, 3.5 ERA, 20 homers, you know, which for him is not a terrible number. But, you know, it feels like when you look at his numbers for the year, like every sort of fifth start, and he's actually, you know, he went that stretch through May and June, you know, from May through the early part of June, where it felt like he was, you know, unhittable. You know, he had 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 starts in a row there where he didn't give up more than 1 earned run. But it's like every fifth start you have that, you know, June 18th, first semester, 4 innings and 6 runs. Then he came back the next week, the next start against the Cubs, 4 innings, 7 runs. Then he goes a few more starts, and then he'll throw in a 1 1/3 for 6 earned runs, and then the 4 innings of 5 earned runs. And just, you know, you feel like every fifth start or so, I'm not saying it's perfect math, but like every fifth start or so, you feel like that he's just going to get that clunker out there. He's just going to pitch that just kind of, and he's going to have that one inning where he just can't get out of it, and it's 41 pitches or 37 pitches in one inning, and you're like, all right, well, if he's only got 100, and then he ain't going to get, you know, going to be lucky if we can get him through the fifth inning. And it's why, especially, like, I don't believe in a five-game set to start. I don't believe in a five-game set he's going to get one of the starts in there. I don't think he's going to pitch a third or fourth game. I think right now he's on the outside looking in. If you're talking about Soroka and Keuchel for sure, then, you know, is it Fried, Fulte? I think Fried and Fulte have the lead on Julio Teheran. I think at this point, and look, earlier in the year, you could have said he was one of the 2 or 3 best starters that they had going on this roster. That wouldn't have been a stretch to say that. So, you know, listen, it's one of those situations where the guy who has been, you know, the opening day pitcher, and I always say it like this, you know, the Braves don't have an opening day starter. They have a guy who starts on opening day. And there is a difference. You know, when other teams have Chris Sale and Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw or Hyunjin Ryu or Justin Verlander or Garrett Cole or whatever, you know, whatever you want, a John Lester, whatever you want to say, you know, about all of that. You know, the Braves have just had a guy who, okay, this is the guy we designate to start opening day in Julio Teheran. And for all those years that he started. Now, looks like maybe Mike Soroka turning the corner. That probably right now, I would tell you, that's probably your opening day starter for next year. Okay? But I will tell you that I just don't trust Julio Teheran in a I need to make sure for a one game set you're ready to go scenario that I trust him. And you know, the home runs by and large are not a big part of postseason baseball from the standpoint of, you know, you don't have this these big slugfests. Now, that Dodgers-Astros series, yeah, there were some slugfest games in that World Series from a couple of years ago. I mean, no doubt about it. You know, that series was just crazy at times with the number of pitchers that were in there and all that kind of stuff. But by and large, playoff baseball is an at-bat-to-at-bat-to-at-bat thing, and, you know, it's tough sledding in the playoffs. I just don't trust Julio Teheran to be able to go out there and, man, I need you. Especially, let's say, in a situation where in a five-game set, the Braves are down 2-1. You feel like you can handle the ball? And, again, I don't care if it's at home, if it's on the road. I don't really care where it is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care where it is. You know, over the course of 30 starts, you know, you expect some clunkers and things like that. Every pitcher. I mean, DeGrom gets roughed up. Scherzer gets roughed up. Kershaw gets roughed up. You know, they're going to have their starts here and there along the way. But it seems like with Tehran, unfortunately, it's like clockwork. You know, it's like about every fifth start, you're looking up and saying, well, here comes the one where he gives up three homers. And just like clockwork, it feels like, well, here we go with all of it. And, you know, for a guy who was, I think he was in the top four among all minor league prospects at one point. You know, he's been good, but not what I think they hoped that he would be, you know, at one point in their farm system. You know, at one point he was their top prospect in their farm system. He's done a lot of good things this year. I don't want to take away from the things that Julio Tehran has done. You know, he's done some good things. And you know, his ERA has been pretty manageable. Listen, even 3.5 in today's baseball world is not a terrible ERA. And like I said, he literally added, you know, almost 0.2 of a run onto it last night with that performance. Went from a 3.31 up to 3.5 ERA. So yeah, it was rough sledding last night. No doubt about it. But I would say at this point, man, unless somebody gets hurt, or unless you just tell me that all of a sudden he just is so filthy good down the stretch, like he's Chris Sale, Max Scherzer, filthy good down the stretch, I don't see how you trust Julio Tehran in the playoffs. And I didn't, you know, we did our playoff rosters last night for this first round series. I'm not sure he's on the playoff roster to start. Well, just bring him out of the bullpen. Okay, well, that's not always easy for guys. You know, you prepare differently and you have to think differently. It's not for everybody. You know, hey, pick up the baseball and go throw coming out of the bullpen. It's not always for everybody. Not everybody adjusts very easily to that. By the way, Jarvis, are there any late night pizza joints open? Because I'm looking at this pizza up here and I'm thinking, man, I could really go for like a bunch slice of pizza. Is there a couple spots around here that are open late, like after our show? Okay. All right. We may have to go explore some pizza because I go for some pizza. Man, I'm looking at pizza and thinking, man, I could crush some pizza right now. I could go Fletcher Cox on the Falcons offensive line with some pizza right now. Anyway, just saying. I think Julio Tehran, a lot of ways, with his inconsistency of just, you know, it's a few good starts, then it goes backward. It's a few good starts, then it goes backward. I just think that inconsistency is too hard to trust in the playoffs, especially when you have other options, you know, available. I'm not telling you Mike Fultonevich is setting the world on fire, but I trust him a little bit more. Max Fried, I think, has earned our trust at this point, even being a rookie. I think Keuchel, Soroka, Max Fried have all earned trust. And I think if you have to pick between the two, I think Fulte now at this point is the guy that you can trust a little bit more. And certainly Fulte's makeup and his stuff from the standpoint of he has much more swing and miss type of stuff. I mean, it hasn't always translated this year, but his stuff is swing and miss caliber. We'll see. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Tehran's not on the playoff roster, at least for this first set. We get back. AB, commissioner says he's not going exempt, which means he can play. Ooh, I've got him on my fantasy team. Talk about that next. Checker in the Key Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.